to have you all here tonight. And I know you'll be excited because unless the Lord returns, we will be finishing chapter 5 tonight. So I think this is part number 5 of this. But so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 is where we're at. As Josh did mention again, the concert on Thursday night. I'll come out and support that and those that are in that and the hard work and efforts that they put into that. It's a good thing to come and share for the school, encourage those that are participating in that. Chapter 5, verse 12, and the last three verses here in this chapter are really a rebuke. And we'll just say, if you feel rebuked by this, then if you feel that this is, you know, this message, these words that are being discussed here, you know, only you can do anything about it, is what we're saying. And I hope you'll understand as we keep going. But we'll be getting to chapter 5, verse 12 here in just a moment. The writer indicates that some time has passed. What he's making reference of is that there's some time that has passed since these people have become Christians. And that's why this book is being written, because they're reverting back. And this isn't after just a short time, some a short time, some a longer time, but they're reverting back to Judaism. But now this is just kind of a general description that, you know what, you've been a Christian long enough, you should get it. But we know how that goes, and as I said, sometimes is life, it gets busy, but we need not to get those priorities out of whack. But anyway, he says that he indicates that some time has passed and that this time is more than sufficient to become teachers. To become teachers. But rather than teaching, they still have need for someone to teach them. They need instruction in the first principles of the rudimentary matters, what I like to call the Bible basics, or, you know, the spiritual ABCs. Now, again, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we wish scriptures gave us a timeline on, right? You know, sometimes we're like, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we had it, you know, an age for, you know, don't have anyone, you know, be immersed into Christ until they're past this age, right? But that's not how it works, because every mind is a little different, and so it has to come to how they respond to the gospel, not how old they are. And we see that then as well. I at least see this on the initial outset. It doesn't say men. Enough time has passed. And it doesn't say women, but it's basically talking to Christians. And so sometimes, you know, we'll just say this. There are plenty of opportunities. Titus and Timothy both tell us of this, that there's plenty for the women to do as far as teaching. And that doesn't mean you have to be up in front of a class. That doesn't mean you have to be on the stage, because there's ways that gentlemen teach as well that doesn't happen in. And so this is, I believe, for all Christians. There ought to be a time where, whether that's a mother teaching a daughter, or whether that's a grandmother teaching a granddaughter, or whether that's maybe some young ones. I was reading an article the other day a woman had wrote. It says, you know, and we've know of congregations and things where that where she was 11 years old when she started teaching the like pre-K 2 and 3. So basically she listed herself as a glorified babysitter. However, you know, so you're looking at the 2 and 3 year olds, but she had, you know, started that at an early age, and it's not too hard to be able to share something with those kids that they can still grow with. Even at 2 and 3 year olds, you know, that's, they start going to class and they start knowing when to clap or when to do hand motions for deep and wide or whatever it may be. There's always that time to start, and we see that could be a variety of different ages. There's sometimes we do just automatically lock in then, you know, obviously as we start to get to older classes, you know, junior high, things of that nature, we try to have gentlemen leading in that. That doesn't mean their wives can't be in there and help make comments and things like that for the classes and things like that. And so what that means is, you need to be ready to teach. And when we, you know, that's one of those things is myself and the elders, Derek, we've got those papers out there. One of the things is for elementary kids, for junior high kids, high school age, of those, of people to be able to teach. Well, I just don't know if I get up front and teach an adult class. I get that. That's fine. But that doesn't mean you don't have something to offer and put your name down there to be able to teach and to want to teach. Well, I used to teach, and they asked me not to anymore, so I'm not going to put my name down. No, that's not the right either. Sometimes we go through changes. We go through cycles where we're going to move things and change things up. There's sometimes we have one adult class on Sunday mornings. There's sometimes we have two. There's probably sometimes we should have three. And, you know, what would we do then if we had three classes to choose from? We'd have people that quit coming to Sunday school because they didn't know which one to pick, right? You know, I understand we're not going to make everybody happy, but we need to also have that time that we're ready, that if someone says, can you do this, that you say yes. And if you're not asked, then there ought to be a time in your life where you say, I am ready to do this. That's the encouraging part here, is what we're looking at, is that everybody has that opportunity, has that ability, really, to teach, and it may be one-on-one, as I oftentimes pray. I thank you for those times that I have, the times I really enjoy teaching, or like down at the cafe across the table while I'm eating. I love those times to teach, but we have times then where we may have 20, 25 kids in a Bible class. We may have times where we have 170 in the audience to listen to, but I find each one just as important, whether it's one timey in it or on a grand scale, whatever that may be. And that's where we need to get to, that it's not a matter I remember years ago, I had a gentleman that I'd ask occasionally, it would speak on Sunday nights. And his comment to me was, yeah, I'll do it, but you never asked me to preach in prime time. And I was just like, really? Because I always ask you to preach on a Sunday night, and according to the TV shows, that's prime time. Needless to say. If you're doing it for your primetime glory, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And as I said, so it could be one-on-one. It may be mass communicating. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. By design, we try to give you levels of classes here. And if you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, the Bible basics class, I'm hoping, doesn't even cross your mind that you want to have things where you've moved on. But here we see, if it happened 2,000 years ago, we know it's happening today. that you have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles and the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Okay, I got some grandbabies that are just coming out of that milk stage. Lane, you know, I don't know, how many months is he, 15, 16 months, something like that? I'm telling you, he loves his milk, okay? But you throw down some serious food in front of him, and he's going to chomp away. Now, Charlotte, she already out-eats her brothers. We saw that today at lunch, where they, don't get me wrong, they love that bottle of milk, but they also then look forward to something with a little more substance and sustenance to it. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. And in such a way, see, she's hungry right now again already. This is what Paul is talking about and really trying to get these people to understand that the reason you're in the shape you're in here in the book of having to have the letter of Hebrews written to you is because you haven't moved on. You're still young. Now, and I get that. I understand that we all don't grow at the same pace. But I will say this. There are things that Paul's saying here. After a certain time, I don't know what that time is. Paul didn't say what that time is. But I venture to say it should be, at least in the mind of God, in the mind of the apostles, in the mind of those that teach and stuff, if within a year and a half, these young ones have decided that they're moving beyond just the milk, that there's some correlation there that, you know, a time frame properly, you know, correlated to our age and our growth and things of that nature, ought to be moving beyond the milk of the word and getting the solid food. If that event is happening, you know, if in 30 years from now, you know, they were still just drinking a bottle, we'd say something's wrong with them. But in our spiritual life, sometimes we just like to chalk it up. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Are we really? Are we? Because everybody's got something to share and to learn. As I've said before, at least when it comes to sharing the gospel, all you have to do is be able to tell somebody else what you've done to be obedient. That's a great starter for sharing the message. Now, there's other things to be taught, obviously. We don't just keep going back to those principles. Yes, I would love to get up here and preach a sermon every Sunday on and we try to incorporate that, at least some part of the message, but I'd love to get up here every Sunday. It'd be easy for me in preparation. It would be easy for you to listen to and get a time if all I did was just speak on baptism. But how much would we grow in everything? And then when we look around and see that, and not that I'm not going to present it so that those that have not been obedient can hear it. But when you look around and you see that, okay, you know, I don't know, 95, 99% or whatever of people that are old enough to understand and put that into cognitive thinking and respond to that have already done that. But we could amen about it and we could praise the Lord about it and everything would be true. But are we really moving on from those basic principles? Unfortunately, this indictment fits too many Christians. Consider among any group of Christians, how many should be teaching versus how many actually are teaching. Some people are dull of hearing. Some are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. In other words, keep teaching, keep teaching, keep teaching, because I need to learn, I need to learn, I need to learn. And we all should be there. But then what are we putting away? What are we able to pull out of and be able to use some other time? If we're always needing to ask questions and we've been a Christian for 30 years, sometimes it's just a matter of do a little research. Ask yourself those questions. Don't always go to somebody else. And I understand they're like, well, I just want to make sure that I'm thinking right. Well, that's fine. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about not doing anything because you don't want to be responsible for anything. 2 Timothy 3:7 is basically that verse that I just quoted. Part of that is there are those that are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've had it. I'm sure if anybody's ever been serious in Bible teaching, that we've had times where we've taught people and we've taught people and we've taught people and we've taught people, and they're like, yeah, I see it, I see it, I understand, I get it, I understand, and they never make a decision. They never come to the knowledge of the truth. There becomes a time then where I have to ask myself, and I can prove it in scriptures, that we have to dust our feet off, that we have to say, you know what? I enjoy our Bible studies. I enjoy our time together. But are we going to respond to the gospel, or are we just going to continue? Because I'd like to move on in my teaching. That's where you're all the time going over the plan of salvation thoroughly every time you have a Bible study, because you're hoping today's the day. But then eventually you have to, and I'm not saying we play God, but the doors get shut and the rains start to come. And we let God deal with that. But I also have to be a steward of my time. That if you know what needs to be done and you choose not to, then what else can I do about that? Other than pray for you and still try to bring it up. But there are those that are always learning, always wanting to know more about. They're just waiting for one more thing for them to make the decision. But you know what? I found many of those people's lives, unfortunately, is that tomorrow never comes. And sometimes life goes on and they even pass away and have never been obedient. The first need is to be sharpened because they're dull. The second is for them to be rejected. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. And that's where these will be the ones that teach the Word of God. They'll even be those that listen to the Word of God. They'll even put their lives on the line. So I was watching a program last night. I think it was the Unexplainable with William Shatner. Or, you know, there's something on the wing. That's old Twilight Zone. Anyway, so we see that they were talking about cults. And they were going over mass. You know, of course, one of the top ones to be talked about was the Jonestown Massacre years ago. And then some of them that happened maybe more during a lot of our lifetime with the Hale Bopp comment, and Major, what was his first name? His last name was Applewhite. Marshall Applewhite, right? Is that what is it? Somebody say that? Is that what they said? Right? Okay. Tom, you could be a, never mind. And then, of course, David Koresh. And then they went down to where even, you know, just one individual that went down and basically became this cult leader for this one gal. And so, you know, the point being was that it could be great masses of people or it could just be one individual. And we all see that. Why is it that these people will fall into the realm of a cult and be willing to sacrifice their own lives for the cause of their leader? And then we got Christians bailing out all the time. be thankful, first of all, that we live in the country in which we do, for at least right now, we don't have to face some of those things as far as our life for His. But I'm letting you know, it could happen. May happen during our lifetime. And so would we be willing to do the same thing, that someone's willing to die for a cult, and they many times call Christianity a cult too. But we follow Jesus Christ, and He has promised to give us life eternal, and we base that on our faith of the things that He has provided for us. And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us that they hold a form of godliness. It appears that they're doing something, right? They appear to have a form of godliness. All know they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. The recipients of Hebrews were at the first point, but not yet to the second. As we grow in Christ, we need to move off of the spiritual milk and onto solid food. The reason people do not advance in their growth is Christ is simple. They do not want to. The reason they don't follow Christ is that they don't want to. They are dull of hearing. They wish to have their ears tickled. They want to understand what they want. They want to understand what they want to, and they want to believe that that is enough. And they'll want to hash those things over and over again. I've known some Christians that the conversation I've had with them 30 years ago before I was a preacher is the same conversation I've had with them 20 years ago, and the same conversation I've had with them 10 years ago, and the same conversation I've had with them 2 weeks ago, because they don't want to move beyond this area in their life. I just look at it and I'm just like, haven't we grown beyond that? Haven't we figured that out yet? It's because we choose to stay where we're at. They needed milk, not strong meat or solid food. Milk is pre-digested food, suited for one who lacks the ability to receive and digest his own nourishment. The spiritual milk baby is not able to learn and digest his own spiritual food. He depends on someone else to do most of his learning and thinking for him. If the only thing that you ever learn is what this guy says at the pulpit, or any guy says at the pulpit, or anybody says in the classroom, if those are the only things that you learn, you got problems. Because we mess up. God's Word doesn't. And so what you need to do is, hopefully we're doing things to help you and encourage you and strengthen you along that way. But at the same time, you ought to know, if they say something, does that sound right? Some ought to click one way or another. This is the way things should begin, but they shouldn't stay this way. For by this time, you ought to be teaching others. There is no doubt a certain amount of blame does fall to the teachers, the preachers, the overseers, who have not led the babes to stronger food. But if the same bottle is used every feeding time, the hungry souls cannot be expected to develop into maturity. And that's why I said we don't focus on those same things. We try to give a broad topic. We try to give different things to discuss during Sunday school or Wednesday night classes, and however that may go. But let us teach, or let each teacher and preacher learn from this context as well, to follow our author's example as he himself leaves the first principles to carry his readers on the maturity, or on to maturity and perfection or completeness. There's a point even where the teachers have to say, I'm moving on. If you haven't gotten it figured out yet, we can continue to try to work on that. But if you're just staying there because it's comfortable, it works for you, then we ought to be moving beyond that. And the teacher just says, all right, we're picking up from where we've left here, and we're moving on. Last two verses. Hebrews 5:13-14. The spiritual infant who still partakes milk is unskilled or unexperienced in the word of righteousness. As an infant is without experience in eating strong food, so long as he remains with milk along, so the believer who never has experience in teaching others will remain in need of simple nourishment himself. This is not condoned, but condemned. And anybody who's ever been there, from the simplest little Bible class taught to a 2 or 3 year old, or even a 1.5 year old, you have to do some thinking, some preparation for that. And when you teach that, if you decide you want to teach a lesson to Lane, I guarantee you, as the teacher, you're going to learn more than the student. At least at this time. So does that mean as the teacher you don't do it? No, we still do it. You know, I remember years ago I had a mother come to me, and a new Christian, and she's like, I feel so bad. All these other moms know all these Bible stories. She didn't grow up in the church. She said, all these other moms know these Bible stories. And she's like, I don't know Daniel from David or any of these things. And she's like, so I just feel like I'm a failure with my little kid. And I said, you know what? Then you find the simplest, easiest little Bible story books, and you teach those to your kid, and you'll be surprised how much you'll learn along the way. And just continue to move up with that. There's nothing wrong with being at a point where you say, I don't know what to do, how to teach this, what to do. But it's wrong for you to stay there. We need to be continually growing. Hebrews 5:13-14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We have our senses trained to discern good and evil. And that's all along the different age levels that is happening. Strong meat is for the one who is of full age, right? Now, when we say that, you know, at least to try to translate that to everyday experiences, we talked about these ones having milk and then moving into more, you know, we're talking like chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese and things like that. I venture to say if they go out for dinner and Lane says, Dad, I would like the tomahawk steak, right? The tomahawk ribeye, that Dakota would probably say, no, you're getting the macaroni and cheese, okay? Why is that? Because first of all, if Lane said that, he'd be texting everybody saying, guess what Lane just said? But anyway, this is the same thing we have happen in the church. We have people that come out of the watery grave of baptism, and then they want to teach an adult class on faithfulness. They ain't there yet. They haven't even started that walk yet. And so that's why we gotta, just because they're asking for something then doesn't mean we give it to them. We have to make sure that it makes sense along the way. And besides that, if he orders a tomahawk ribeye steak, bring it home to Papa. Right? Anyway, so strong meat is for the one who is of full age. You don't, you know, that's why, yeah, you don't give a little kid something like that. The perfect or mature person, the complete person, the mature Christian, by reason of use or exercise, has his senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and we should do it. We train our kids to know what's good, what's good, what's good. But you know what? We also need to let them know what's bad. And sometimes why? Sometimes it's just stay away from that because I said so, and sometime later we'll be able to explain that. But we need to train them to do good. Yay, they do good. We did, yay, you did this, right? But there's also times we say, no, And then it may need require an explanation at that time. They may not get it, understandably, but they know we got a gas fireplace and the thermostat kicked on today and Lane looked at it, hot, hot, right? Yes. And then it goes off and he was like, ah, no, it's still hot, but it's just not on right now. And it's still hot. And so that's where we still, the training needs to be there. Senses translated, a word which gives us aesthetics, though here is a figurative meaning. Exercised is the word, is from a word family which gives us the same word as gymnasium, which that word aesthetics also looks a lot like athletics, and suggests perhaps that maturity in spiritual discernment comes only through regular workouts. All right, we know people, young people, maybe we've watched stories of people training for certain events. You know, Helen Carroll's got kids in gymnastics. We got other in activities of karate or whatever it may be. And, you know, you see some of those things they do, and it's like, well, I could do that, right? Well, I'm just saying, if you guys want to have a real good time, then show up on Wednesday night about 5:30. Gary Cooper, myself, Ryan Jewell, we're all going to have pole vaulting tools or, you know, instruments in here. We're going to have the pommel horse. We're going to have the rings. We're going to have all these different activities for you guys to watch us do because we're going to show you how it's done. And I'll just be like hanging there on the ring. Right? No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't even think of doing that. Why? Because we haven't had the training for it. And to matter of fact, I don't want the training for it. I like to hear about all these other people and their sacrifices, at getting up at 3 o'clock every morning and going out and doing that. I'll dream about you while you're doing that, okay? Anyway, what it's saying, though, is there's an effort that needs to be put into it. We just wouldn't assume that we could do those things, right? I was going to say, if you think you can just assume that you do those things, show up on a Tuesday night to some of these men's basketball leagues that think they can compete with high schoolers, right? It doesn't happen, okay? They run up and down the court a few times, and they're like, I need water. I need a break. Yeah, Jason's like, I do. Yeah, right? Shut up. No. But when it comes to regular workout, this training is an athlete. We need this training is as an athlete trains. He trains for strength and muscle memory, or training in the word should be much of the same. I will say this. This is one of those areas that, and so we go to youth camp. Sword drills come up. You can tell the kids that have, you know, like Gabby Wellman, who has her own Bible, you know, with the front page torn off of it, and she's actually copied a new front page, put it on tape, because she wants to use a certain Bible for those competitions so that she could get there and be the first one there. You know, it's like the guy in baseball that has to use a certain bat, but then when you crack it, you know, then, oh, no, we got to start all over, right? And so we have those efforts for that, but they train and they use those tools and they allow them to help make them better. So our training in the word should be much the same. To discern good and evil represents the ability and or the authority to make independent moral choices. Just from being able, reading the Bible and comprehending, and I get it. And that's why you listen over and over if you've got the Bible app or you read it over and over, that we're not always going to get, but eventually sometime it's going to kick in. That's why I use it. What I use it as is I'll say, remember all of a sudden you're in a place in your life and that verse that you've read 100 times now means something and it didn't before. It wasn't because God just put that verse in there. It's that now something in your life has made it so you get it, that you understand that. And to make that, what we do is we read the Bible for our independent moral choices. You know, there's sometimes it boils down to that you have to make up the decision. Doesn't matter what the preacher says, what the elders say. I have to decide, what does this mean? You may be being misled, and you have to decide, this is what it means. And we do find that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 and 22. For God knows that the day that you eat, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us, or become one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. If man would have just paid attention, wouldn't have gotten the mistake. But then the conversation with the Godhead says, if they decide to reach out for that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they decide to eat of the, or they have met with that one, if they decide then to eat of the tree of life, they could live forever. Boom, out of the garden. Didn't want them to live that way. Wouldn't that have cured all of man's salvation issues? No, they just would have lived forever. Our salvation came because of, as Gary's been teaching, the sacrifice. Deuteronomy 1:39. Moreover, you little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. 2 Samuel 14:17. Then your maidservant said, please let the word of my lord the king be comforting. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you. 2 Samuel 19:35. I am now 80 years old. Can I distinguish between good and bad? Or can your servants taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of the singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? 1 Kings 3:9. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? I'll just say that was one of Solomon's mistakes, I think, was to ask for an understanding heart to guide God's people, because he let his own heart go, tried his best, did what was great for the kingdom, but in all possibilities lost his own soul because of what he gave into. And so even in knowing the good and evil, we've got to be careful. Isaiah 7:16, for before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, and the land to whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. The Christian is to mature to the point of making his own moral judgments. He is to learn to discern the Lord's will in each circumstance of his own life. That may mean not just then reading the Word of God, but praying about the situation. And I'll just say, there's many things in our life that aren't answered in one prayer. That it's a continual thing. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 and 17. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 4. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there's sometimes you can't just say, well, I don't ever remember the elders teaching on that, or I don't remember Dave saying anything about it. I don't remember the Wednesday night class talking about that. You're responsible to understand the Word of God, to read those things, to fill in the gaps if we do miss. We try to cover a broad variety of topics, but if it's something that you're coming up with, then it ultimately falls on you for the responsibility. verse 3 then, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. We cannot naturally discern good and evil, but we must train ourselves to do that with the Word of God. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to every man. So this says everybody thinks they've got it figured out, but guess what happens to that way? It leads to death. A regular diet of the Word of God is so essential so that we can train ourselves. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Peter says he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Not just to live our life, but to live our life in a godly, Christ-like fashion. It's not just good enough to say, I'm a good person. It's not just good enough to say, I'm a Christian. We have to be an active participant in our faith of Christianity. We cannot become a Christian and then fail to grow. Jesus, as we had referenced there today, in one of our chapters, the parable of the soils, those soils have to emit growth. If they don't, the seed dies. That's talking about the Word of God. And if the Word of God dies in your life, there's no hope for you because you've allowed it to be scorched out, burned out, ate up, chewed up, whatever the scenario might be. But if you're here tonight, and I'm not expecting for, it'd be great if there's somebody that wants to come forward and be immersed. But in a sermon like this, I think, and I'm not asking for you to come forward, because then, honestly, everybody should come forward. But this is a sermon of repentance. That I can do better. And if you honestly think you can reach into your gut and look to the Lord in prayer and say, I'm doing the absolute 100% best I can, then that's between you and Him. But what He's telling here, the church, is that you ought to be ashamed if you're stuck in a rut. Get out of that rut. Move forward. Become teachers. One-on-one or mass communicating, whatever it takes. But get the job done. Don't be stuck using the excuse, I can't teach. Yes, you can. Just maybe different from person to person. Then you make sure you teach your family at home. Make sure you put them in the opportunities to hear the Word of God, whatever it may be. But ultimately, it's your choice. Do you believe tonight that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to repent of your sins as Christians? Are we willing to repent that I can do better? I know I can do better. There's people that I have the opportunity to talk to that I spurn on a daily basis, a weekly basis, once a year. I always see this person somewhere, and we talk, and we never get to Christ. Just make up a conscious mind to do something different. Make a change. Right? Because we always talk about that. We always say, and whenever I ask this question, how many would love to see every chair here filled up? Every service? Then we got to do something about it. We've got to do something about it. We've got to make a change if that's what's necessary. Repent of our sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes, we understand we need to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sin. But you know what? There's each of us that could probably, if we sat down, make out a list of at least just 10 people that we all know that have not been obedient to Jesus Christ yet. Just 10. We'll make it easy. Just find one person and try to make an influence for them this week. Bring them in. If not, we're going to have to repent again next Sunday. Now, I'm not saying we don't try and then we're just not successful. The Lord's never said our salvation is conditional on our success of bringing others in. And I'm thankful for that. There's sometimes it just seems like, man, this is easy. Why don't we have this all? And then other times we have a dry spell where spiritually where we're bringing that. Why can't we find somebody to come to Christ? Well, there's somebody out there. We just got to get them, find them, bring them to Jesus. Get out of our head. Get out of our own head that I can't do it. Yes, you can, Josh.